Hello, we're about to learn Parshas Achrimos from the Tzenarena. And this Parsha begins with Musar from Pasuk and Mishlei, as the Tzenarena frequently does in all the other Parshios. The Pasuk says, Kiseishev lochom es Moshe, when you sit down to break bread with a ruler, bin tavin es asher lefenecha, understand that which was coming before you. Let's explore this Pasuk, how it connects to the Parsha and what it's meant to teach us. So the Tzenarena begins with giving the basic explanation of this pasuk, and it says that at times a person might dine with a prominent person, specifically a politician or a ruler. When a person is sitting down to dine with this ruler, they should understand what's going on. Let's say if a person is invited to the Hanukkah party at the White House, or if they're invited to a seder in the White House, there's certain protocols. They're going to be rubbing elbows with the most important people in the country, and they want to make a good impression, and they want to make sure also that they act appropriately at all times. There's lots of people who can be influenced, and there's an expectation of a certain behavior. So how do they get that proper perspective? So the Tzenarena says that they should seek out people who have already had this experience, who've already been there, who've been to the White House for Hanukkah, and find out what they need to do, what's the protocol, what they're supposed to wear, how they're supposed to speak, how do they speak to the president, what are they supposed to say, when do they show up. It's a responsibility to have that close of a connection with a person in power, and we must treat that responsibility and honor with respect. This pasuk has a second meaning. And the Moshel in this pasuk means Hashem. When a person sits down to understand Hashem, then bin tavin es asher lefenecha, they need to understand well that which is before you. What it's telling us is that if a person wants to understand Hashem who is before you, they can only philosophize and theorize about parts of Hashem that are apparent to them. They shouldn't think about what came before creation or what's going on in the heavens where they can't see. That's not for a person to know. Rather, we can look at what has Hashem done before us in time and in space. And from analyzing this, we can experience through our understanding of creation Hashem and recognize and understand Hashem to the best of our ability. The Tzenarena now connects this idea to our Parsha. The two sons of Aaron, Nadab and Avihu, wanted to know Hashem. They wanted to know Hashem deeply. And so what did they do? At Har Sinai, they looked at the Shekhinah. And they looked at the Shekhinah in a way that was more than they were supposed to. And this was the cause of their death. We learn this from how the first pasuk is written, and the Tzenarena is going to go through a number of explanations to explain this first pasuk so that we can understand why did the children of Aaron, why did Nadab and Avihu need to die? So he quotes the first pasuk, and the pasuk says, "Achrei Moshnei bnei Aaron bekirvasam lefnei Hashem vayamusu." After the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they came close, meaning when they came too close before Hashem, that's why they died. Vayamusu, they died. This pasuk is telling us that the death of the two sons of Aaron came because bekirvasam, when they became too close. They saw too much. They wanted to get too close to the Shekhinah, and they weren't meant to. They looked too deeply. The Tzenarena then quotes a second explanation as to what the sin of Nadab and Avihu could have been. And he quotes the Kli Yakar, who's a contemporary of the Tzenarena, and who published his Perush at around right before the Tzenarena was written. So he is one of the last contemporaries who is quoted in the Tzenarena. Generally, the Tzenarena quotes Rashi or Beinu B'chai, so it's exciting that he's quoting the Kli Yakar here. So the Kli Yakar gives another explanation. He says that the Mefarshim are all trying to grapple with why do they deserve to die. These two individuals, Nadab and Avihu, were the most holiest individuals in Klal Yisrael after Moshe and Aaron. So we need to have an explanation as to why they died. The Kli Yakar says that the word of Bekirvasam is not talking about the behavior of Nadab and Avihu that when they came too close, but rather it's talking about their identity. That Nadab and Avihu died because they were the most closest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore they died as an example for the rest of the Jewish people. Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, "Bekrovai ekadesh, with those who are close to me, I will make myself holy." Through those who are close to Hashem, Hashem becomes holy when the rest of the nation looks at what happens to those holy people. And they take a message when these people are getting punished for what seems to be very small sins. And so people will look at that and say, hey, if that's what happens to somebody who is so holy, what's going to happen to me? So Bekrovai Ekadesh, through those who are close to me, I will be made holy, because people will recognize the significance of sin and they're going to think twice before sinning. The Tzenarena then brings a third explanation for the word Bekirvasam. He interprets the Shorash Bekir Vasam, which he means when they came close to bring a carbon. When Nadab and Avihu came to bring a carbon to Hashem, they did an Avira, and therefore they died as a result. When they brought the carbon, they decided to bring their own flame into the Mishkan, which was not the process that they were meant to do. The Parsha begins telling us about the sin of Nadab and Avihu, says it's Senarena, as a message to the Kohanim who are about to learn about the Avodah of Yom Kippur, about the service in the Beit in the Mishkan and the Beit HaMikdash on Yom Kippur, which has a very specific process, to warn them not to deviate at all from what Hashem tells them to do in the Torah. They're supposed to look at what happened to Nadab and Avihu and take a lesson so that they're going to make sure that they enter into the Kodesh Kodashim on Yom Kippur properly. Senarena continues to analyze this first pasuk in the parsha. The pasuk says that Achrei Mos Shnei Bnei Aaron, the two sons of Aaron. So the Medrash looks at these words and notices that there's an emphasis on two of the sons of Aaron, which means that we're supposed to think about how many sons does Aaron actually have. He has four sons. So what about the other two sons? So the Medrash tells us that really all four of Aaron's sons should have died because they were the sons of Aaron. Aaron was the one who made the ego. The four sons of Aaron were meant to die as a punishment for what Aaron did at the ego. And Moshe Rabbeinu davened, and therefore the punishment was mitigated. Only two sons of Aaron died. This seems very unfair. The Senarena continues and tells us that that which we perceive as unfair in this world is really something that we can't understand. And he quotes a pasuk in Kohelet, which says, "Mikra echad tzadik l'rasha l'tov l'tahor." There is one set of circumstances that happen to those who are holy and to those who are evil, to the good and to the pure. A good person and an evil person can seem to have the same lot in life. And we can't understand how can Hashem treat two different people in exactly the same way when they don't seem to deserve the same life. So let's start with the first set of people that the Senarena mentions, which is Avraham Avinu and Nimrod. Let's think about the life of Avraham Avinu. What do we know about Avraham Avinu? Who was Avraham Avinu? He was the person who went out of his way to try to bring people close to Hashem. The whole world believed in multiple gods, and Avraham Avinu went and found people and convinced them that there was one God. And he introduced to the whole world this idea of one God. His nemesis at the time was Nimrod, who threw him into the fiery furnace. And Nimrod was the person who persuaded everyone to deny Hashem. But what happened to both of them? They both lived, they both died at the same time. They had power, they had influence, and it seemed that like their life story happened in the same way, that Avraham Avinu didn't benefit any more for being good than Nimrod did. Let's look at the next example that the Senarena brings. He brings the example of David and Nebuchadnezzar. David is called a Tahor, he's pure. Nebuchadnezzar is called a Tameh, he is impure. And let's look at their lives. So David is essentially responsible for building the Beis HaMikdash. He is the one who brought down Hashem's Shechina into this world by preparing the ground and making sure Bnei Yisrael were ready to build the Beis HaMikdash. He devoted his whole life to building the Beis HaMikdash. Nebuchadnezzar is the person who destroyed the Beis HaMikdash and caused the Shechina to depart from the Makom HaMikdash. So David HaMelech is the one who brought the glory of Hashem to this world, and Nebuchadnezzar was the one who removed it. Despite this big difference between them qualitatively, they both ruled as kings for 40 years. And so it would seem that they both had a similar life with no reward based on what they did. Moshe was such a good person. He is the epitome of a tzaddik. He spoke to Hashem for 40 days and 40 nights. Only good things came from his mouth. The most evil people who used their mouths incorrectly at his time were the Meraglim. They sinned through what they spoke against Hashem and against Eretz Yisrael. What happened to both of them? They both died in the Midbar, and they were both punished that they couldn't go into Eretz Yisrael. So it seemed like there was the same punishment for two individuals who were vastly different. The sons of Aaron were very holy people. The Torah attests, "Bekrovai Akadesh, with my closest ones I will become holy." The 250 followers of Korach were evil. They rebelled against Moshe, or they rebelled against Hashem. They both died through a fire coming down from heaven, from descending from heaven and killing them. What lesson can we take? We can't make judgments about people or events based on what we see in this superficial world that we call life. We know from the Torah that Moshe is holier than the Meraglim. We know from the Torah that Abraham is holier than Nimrod. But when we're living our regular lives, we can't see beneath the surface and understand
why something bad is happening to somebody who's pure and holy, and why something good is happening to somebody who's evil. Things are not obvious in this world, and we need to understand and take a lesson from what's happening, only to do tshuva, the Krovaya Kadesh. If we see something bad happening to somebody, we can take a lesson to try to improve ourselves, but we can't make a judgment about that person's innate character. There's another lesson that's taught by Shlomo that's brought down by the Tzenarena this time. And it says, L'schok amarti mehulel. Rejoicing, I say, it's madness. In this parsha, we're going to see that happiness, joy, is often mixed with grief. And joy on its own, pure, unbridled joy, is not a goal that we should try to strive for. An example that the Tzenarena brings is Shlomo HaMelech. He was the richest person in the world. In some ways, his life contradicted what the Torah wanted from him. He was fabulously wealthy, even though the Torah says that a king shouldn't accumulate too much wealth. He had 700 wives and 300 concubines, even though the Torah had told him that a king shouldn't have too many wives. He also had 40,000 stables of horses, even though the Torah said that a king shouldn't have too many horses so that they wouldn't go down to Mitzrayim. So Shlomo HaMelech had wealth, prestige, a beautiful family, and what happened to him? The Tzenarena tells us about Medrash that Ashmedai, who was the head demon, was somehow, through a series of events, which are more complicated than we're going to get into here, came and deposed Shlomo and threw him 400 miles from his palace. So Ashmedai disguised himself as Shlomo, and everybody assumed that Shlomo was on the throne. And meanwhile, the real Shlomo was walking around, going into all the shuls and Batei Medrash and saying, I'm really Shlomo. That's me. That's not, the person on the throne isn't really Shlomo. I'm Shlomo. So what did the people do? They beat him. They thought he was crazy. They gave him beans and cabbage as a tzedakah. And Shlomo HaMelech, who is the smartest man in the world, says, is this what I get for everything I toiled in this world? All I end up with in life is beans and cabbage. A person can seem to have everything and it can all be taken away from them and they really don't even have what they seem like they have. Because Shlomo HaMelech did have all this fabulous wealth. He did have all these wives. He did have all these horses, but he couldn't access it. The world is fleeting. It's not really ours. The Tzenarena then draws this lesson to our Parsha. One of the most tragic figures in our Tanakh is Elisheva, who is the wife of Aaron and the mother of Nadav and Abihu. When the Mishkan was being inaugurated, she was the most prominent woman in the entire Jewish nation. Her husband was the Kohen Gadol. He was honored. He was respected. People liked him. Her brother-in-law was Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the de facto king. He was the ruler. He was a political leader. So she had a lot of prominence from that relationship as well. She also had two sons who were known to be tremendous Talmidei Chachamim, who were known to be great scholars, Nadav and Avihu. They were the most prominent seconds in command to Moshe and Aaron. Their future was bright, and she was going to be the mother of the future leaders of the Jewish people. Her brother, Nachshon, was the Nasi, the prince of the most important Sheva, and he was also given a role in the inauguration of the Mishkan. But what happened to her on this day? What did all this yichus, what did all this prominence do for her? Her two sons died in a very traumatic and public way. They died in the Mishkan when a fire came down and burned them, and her joy turned to grief and mourning. There's a lesson for us from this episode that the Tzenarena emphasizes. We look at Nadav and Avihu, and we can't judge why they're different than Korach. We look at Elisheva, who is the mother who had to be, who was transformed from a time of immense happiness to a time of grief. And we learn from here, the Tzenarena says, is that a person should never be too happy with stuff, with life, with position. Everything in life is like a wheel. Sometimes we're on the top of the wheel, sometimes we're on the bottom. Everything is fleeting. The one thing that we can guarantee is whatever is going on in life is not going to be there the next day. Things change. Things evolve. So what should we focus on? It's very depressing. So I can't be happy because tomorrow the happiness is going to go away. What we should be thinking about is, what does Hashem want from me now? How do I build a place in the world to come, making myself the best person at this moment with what Hashem is giving me now? And this is the lesson of this parsha. Is what can I do in this world, in this life, to to build a future life. This is why at the beginning of the parsha, we get a reminder about Nadav and Avihu. Nadav and Avihu are there as an example of that we should make sure to live our lives according to what Hashem wants. And this lesson is brought right before Moshe teaches Aaron about how to do the service of Yom Kippur in the Mishkan. And the Tenorena brings in a mashal to explain why it brings an example of Nadav and Avihu before teaching Aaron. And let's say a person is going to the doctor, and this person loves salty foods. He loves foods that are high in fat, high in cholesterol. He eats hot dogs for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. As the doctor comes and shows him his numbers and shows that he has high blood pressure, high cholesterol, and so he gives them this list of blood results, and it's very unlikely that the person is going to change any of their behaviors based on a list of blood results. So how can this doctor get this person to change? Well, there's somebody else in town who is a similar age, who's 55, and he had a heart attack and dropped dead. Rahman al-Islam, Chas v'Shalom. So the doctor tells this person, you know, you have a very similar profile. You're the same age as this other person who died of a heart attack. And he also had high blood pressure. He also had, and we're not talking about HIPAA, but he also had high blood pressure. He had high cholesterol. He looked very much, he had similar numbers to you. If you don't change, you're going to end up dead like him. So that's what Hashem was doing here by bringing the story of Nadav and Avihu before he's teaching about how to do the service of the Mishkan. Because Hashem wants Aaron to have the example of Nadav and Avihu in his mind so he knows that there are real consequences to his behavior. And what does he tell him? He tells them when you go into the Kodesh Kodashim, you need to come in with incense, you need to come in with fire, and when you come into the Kodesh Kodashim, put the incense on the fire so there will be smoke that obscures the top of the Aaron, the Kapores, where the Shekhinah is, which is what Nadav and Avihu didn't realize they were doing wrong. How is Aaron supposed to survive this experience? He knows how precarious it is. So the pasuk says, "Bezos yavo Aaron." With this, Aaron will come. What is he coming with? The Tzenarena quotes Rabbeinu Bachai, who's quoting the Medrash Rabbah in Vayikra, and he says, "Bezos" is referring to certain things that are going to come as a zuchus. The gematria of Zos is 410. So this is going to happen for the 410 years when the Beis HaMikdash, the first Beis HaMikdash stands. This is how Aaron is going to come in. And he's going to come in with bezos. Zos generally means pointing at something, that there's something specific that will help him. What are those things? He's going to come in, the Medrash says, with chavilos of mitzvos, with packages of mitzvos. Zos is used in reference to a number of things in the Torah. Zos refers to the Torah. We say on Shabbos, Zos HaTorah Shasta Moshe L'Bnei Yisrael. This is the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu gave. Zos also refers to the mitzvah of Milah, to the circumcision. Zos also refers to Shabbos. So the Mefarshim and the Medrash tell us these things are going to serve as a merit for Aaron because they are an acknowledgement of Hashem's power in this world. The Torah are the words of Hashem. The Milah is how we consecrate ourselves for Hashem. And the mitzvah of Shabbos tells us that Hashem is controlling the world and He is taking care of the world. He made the world and He continues to take care of the world. Zos also refers to Yushalayim and Truma, where we are saying that Hashem's Shekhinah comes out from a place and influences the world, and therefore we give to the Kohen as an acknowledgement that Hashem is controlling the world. So the Kohen has all these mitzvos and many others that he brings with him to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Imre Yosher tells us that Aaron was the one who gave a milah, who gave the bris milah in the Midbar to the Jewish people. So he was bringing that power with him into the Beis HaMikdash. And also that Avram Avinu gave himself a bris on Yom Kippur. So he's bringing that power of the bris that Avram gave himself with him into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, as well as the fact that the second Luchos, our Torah that we use, was given to Bnei Yisrael on Yom Kippur. So Aaron went into the Kodesh Kodashim with all these zuchuyos, and so that he would be able to go in peace and come out with peace. With the awareness that Hashem is in charge, he would do that which is right, and he would therefore not be punished. When the Kohen went into the Beis HaMikdash and into the Kodesh Kedashim, he wore only linen because he didn't want to wear gold that would remind Hashem of the Egel. When he was going into the Mishkan, he needed to focus and bring only those things that showed that Hashem was in charge, and the Egel was the opposite of that. And he wore linen clothing on three different parts of his body. He wore the linen, which is something that came from a plant, which is very low to the ground, to remind himself that he shouldn't have any arrogance. He, even though he's going into the Kodesh Kedashim, he has to remember how lowly he is. He's demonstrating with his clothing that he is completely subservient to Hashem. He wears his clothing on three parts of his body to indicate how he needs to address himself and what worlds he is part of. He wears pants on the lower half of his body, which hints to him that everything in this world is eventually going to atrophy and be destroyed. Just like when a person eats, his lower half of the body excretes the waste of everything he eats, that there's nothing that is permanent in this world. He then takes a belt, which relates to the heart, that a person's heart is always beating. It doesn't take a break. There's no time that the heart can say, you know, I'm tired, I just want to rest. And that corresponds to this world, the world of action, which it's always moving. There's always action. The world continues, and we constantly need to be moving and progressing. He puts a hat on his head to correspond to the world of the Mlachim, to the world of the Seichel, to the world of the intellect, to realize that that's really where our focus should be. Our focus should be on trying to become like Malachim, to being able to connect to Hashem as we live in this world of constant action, and the fact that we are in a world which will atrophy, that our physical body is going to be diminished, but our Seichel, the part of us that is connected to Hashem, that is like the Malachim, will always continue. So the Parsha is going to continue with what the service in the Mishkan is going to be doing. But right now, I would like to focus on what we've learned so far. And I think that we can say that this Parsha is very sobering. It gives us a dose of reality. We started the Parsha thinking about why do things happen in life? Why do things good things happen to bad people, bad things happen to good people, and we can't explain it. We look at the tzaddikim, Nadav and Avihu, and we learn from them that we can't take our closeness to Hashem for granted. We can't try to get beyond what we can achieve in this world. We're here for a reason. We're here for a purpose. And anything in this world is temporary. It can change at any moment. So what we need to do is we need to focus on those things which are called zos. The Torah, mitzvos, Shabbos, those acts of service will really demonstrate that Hashem is in charge. When we focus on those and we keep on our focus on how can we elevate ourselves to our seichel, to being like the Malachim, then we can achieve and bring purpose to our life rather than focusing on things which can become futile. And in this way, we can live an inspired life, a happy life, enjoying what we have as we have it, knowing that we're building a world to come. Have a good Shabbos.